Most 3D character-driven video games can be pretty easily placed into one of two categories, either first-person or third-person. In a first-person game, you see the game world through the actual eyes of the player character, as though you were that character, and in a third-person game, you see the player character from the outside, often from behind their back or from a fixed, isometric perspective. But the existence of these two perspectives begs a question. If this is what a first-person game looks like, and this is what a third-person video game looks like, what exactly would second person look like? Now, I'm not the first person to wonder about this. The question of whether or not a second person shooter could actually exist is one that has plagued video game message boards just about as long as the internet has existed. It's also served as the premise for some pretty good comedy sketches over the years, like this one from Mega 64.
Introducing the world's first second person shooter!
And this one from The Onion.
To enter second-person shooter mode, you just simply adjust the narrative slider from first to second.
You are walking down a long corridor. Suddenly, a Nazi leaps out from around a doorway and unleashes a hail of machine gun fire in your direction.
But to help us actually figure out what a second-person game would really be, I think it would be helpful to look at this grammatically. In written language, the term first person denotes any writing where the point of view uses phrases like I or my to tell a story from the perspective of the protagonist. Third person writing, on the other hand, uses third person pronouns, for example, he went this way, she went that way, etc., to talk about characters from an outside perspective. Now, second person writing does exist, but it's kind of a weird one. In second person, the primary pronoun used is you. You do this, you go there, etc. The second person is actually a lot less common in narrative writing, and is actually something you're more likely to encounter in, say, a list of instructions or a choose-your-own-adventure book. Now, the analogous video game camera perspectives for first and third person writing are obvious, but what about for second person? We know what an I game looks like, and we know what a he game looks like, but what about a you game? Strangely enough, I actually found the answer to this before I even came up with a question, and believe it or not, it came to me courtesy of a game you may have heard me talk about once before, and that game is Driver San Francisco. See, for all the interesting missions in Driver San Francisco, and there are plenty of them, there's one mission in particular that I swear to God I think about all the time. The mission in question is called The Target, and it's the final mission of Chapter 6 of the game. In the game, you play as a cop named John Tanner, who, for reasons I won't get into here, basically has a superpower that allows you to take over the bodies of any other driver and has begun using that superpower to foil a possible terror plot from a gangster named Jericho. Over the course of the game, Tanner decides that the best way to unravel Jericho's plans is to do it from the inside, and in order to do that, Tanner takes over the body of a low-level henchman named Ordell and uses his driving skills to help move Ordell up the ranks. The final mission in this story arc sees you inhabiting Ordell's body one last time to complete a major assignment from his boss Layla, who is this international assassin and Jericho's second-in-command. Tanner's plan? Warp into Ordell's body and, without arousing suspicion, drive Layla and Ordell directly into police custody. Now, the mission begins as normal with Tanner and his partner Jones driving their iconic orange Dodge Challenger, and soon enough you warp into Ordell's body with Layla in the passenger seat where she gives you some clarity on your mission.
Ordell, I need nothing but your best today.
What's going down?
Jericho's got a problem he wants fixed. Get me to the target and I'll fix it.
So you drive to the destination she's given you, closing in on your target, and as you get close, this happens.
Slow down. We should acquire the target anytime now. The yellow Dodge, up ahead. Stay close, but don't be obvious.
That's my car.
What? That's the cop that's been getting in our way.
Do we follow him to the target?
He is the target.
It's you. You've been assigned to kill you. Now, after that cutscene ends, you are back in Ordell's body, in the first person, with Layla sitting to your right. But then, you press the throttle to accelerate, and the car in front of you moves. You steer to the left and to the right, and the car in front of you moves to the left and then to the right. And then, quickly, it sinks in that the car you're controlling is actually the car you're following. Your perspective as the player is entirely separate from what you're controlling as the player. In other words, you're pursuing you. Now, as you can see, the car that you're sitting in is moving too, but crucially, you're not the one who's controlling that car. The car you're sitting in is moving automatically, seemingly operated by an AI-controlled driver who's tailing the car you're actually controlling. It's basically like a chase mission in any other video game, just like you've seen countless other times, except for this time, it's flipped on its head. This time, you're the one being followed while simultaneously seeing it all unfold from the perspective of the car doing the following. And while it's hard for me to guess how well this comes across on video, all these elements combine to make something that is very, very odd to play. There's something shocking and disorienting about seeing a first-person perspective on your screen, but also not controlling that perspective while remotely operating the car that you're tailing. It's the closest a video game has ever gotten to feeling like a true out-of-body experience, and it's an experience that has stuck with me ever since I first played this game back in 2011. Now, when I first played Driver San Francisco 8 years ago, I kind of just played through this mission once, start to finish, marveling at the unique perspective that this mission granted you, but then moving on to the rest of the game. But I've always felt like if I ever came back to this game, I'd want to pick this mission apart and see what makes it tick, and that's part of what I hope to accomplish with this video. See, as cool as this mission is, it's also pretty linear. The whole thing takes place with you driving down this completely locked down race course with no exits or detours, pretty much just a straight shot to the exit. I've always assumed that the developer Reflections designed the mission this way due to the technological limitations of this weird second-person camera that they built just for this mission. Perhaps there was no way for them to get this camera to behave properly in the actual open world with all the various streets, elevations, and alleyways you could dip into, not to mention the other street traffic, and on top of that, they built this mission with a pretty strict countdown timer forcing you to hit the checkpoints in rapid succession, something that I always assumed was placed there to keep you from ever veering too far off the path and breaking the game somehow. Still, I've always wondered about the actual limitations of this mission, and I knew that this time around I wanted to test out whether or not there was any way to escape, so before finishing the mission, I paused, started it over, and then this time, instead of starting the race as intended, I swung the car into a 180, driving the car backwards in the wrong direction. Now, when I do this, the AI driver immediately begins panicking, rapidly spinning the steering wheel, trying desperately to keep my car visible in frame, and then eventually it turns around 180 degrees to reveal what looks like the entire open world of Driver San Francisco, seemingly 100% accessible to the player. Now, I drove away from the racetrack and began exploring, and I kept bracing myself to hit some kind of invisible wall or failure state for going off course, but it never happened. It all actually worked. I merged into traffic and the second-person camera followed me, immaculately bobbing and weaving through the other cars on the road. It was around this time that I noticed there was no timer. It turns out that Reflections had generously designed this mission, intentionally or unintentionally, so that the mission countdown timer doesn't actually begin until you reach the first checkpoint, meaning that if you never hit that first checkpoint, you can drive around forever. This led to what I can only describe as a transcendent video game experience. It felt like I was seeing something that I was never meant to see. Ability to explore the city as much as I wanted to, all from this wholly unique, extremely surreal second-person viewpoint, it felt like a magical experience and one that almost nobody else has experienced for themselves. Now, revisiting this mission and managing to escape the confines laid down by the developers all those years ago, I really wanted to try and push this thing to its limits. I couldn't resist trying to break things a little. I drove the car off ramps, into oncoming traffic, all of it, but surprisingly, it held together perfectly. That is, until I tried one specific thing. See, I haven't talked about it before, but this mission actually does have a failure condition. In the lower right corner of the screen, there's a health meter, and it represents the health of Tanner's car, the car you're chasing slash driving. But if you get into one too many collisions while driving this car in the second person, you can actually run out of health, causing Tanner to die and the mission to end in a loss. Now, this is actually pretty hard to achieve on the default mission path they laid out, but driving into oncoming lanes of traffic and ramping off car transporters had taken its toll on my vehicle, and I only had a small sliver of health left. Wanting to explore this mission as long as possible, I gingerly pulled Tanner's car into a narrow alleyway, and then decided to try out the one thing I hadn't attempted yet. I turned around and drove the car in the second person directly at myself. This put the AI driver in a weird position. It now had to drive backwards just to keep me in the frame, and it was also narrowly sandwiched between the two walls of the alley, giving it almost no room to maneuver. I kept driving towards myself, putting on the pressure closer and closer, and then
nice work.
It broke. All at once, the second-person vehicle shoots into a wall, clips through it, and then launches hundreds of feet into the air. Briefly, one frame at a time, we can get glimpses of the chaos that unfolded. We see the car inside the wall, then we see the car's front console flipped over, we see what appears to be the ocean floor, and then the pavement as seen from underneath. We see rooftops, the driver's arm, the sky, trees, abstract geometry, and then the city from above, flooded with unloaded geometry. After that, we see the car spinning and spinning in midair, giving us glimpses of San Francisco from above, before finally getting so high that nothing can be seen but endless ocean. And then, black. Suddenly, all at once, the car snaps back to Earth. The health meter for Tanner's vehicle turns blindingly white, and then the second-person viewpoint fills with an orange-yellow hue, Tanner's car. Quickly, it becomes clear that the second-person car has somehow spawned inside of Tanner's vehicle, dealing infinite damage to the car. A deafening crash sound can be heard, and shattered glass flies everywhere, and then, for a brief moment, right before the mission ends, the camera inexplicably shifts into Tanner's car, where the car is balanced on its nose, its windshield shattered, thrust impossibly through another vehicle. And then, horrifically, the camera clips through the back of Tanner's partner's head and shows us the backside of his eyeballs and tongue. A truly terrifying second-person perspective if ever there was one. Shaken by my otherworldly encounter seemingly brought on by pushing this already existential mission to its limits, I reset the mission and played beginning to end one last time, this time careful to do it the right way, not wanting to disturb whatever eldritch being I'd upset by breaking the mission in the first place. After all, I thought, I know that every mission in Driver San Francisco ends with a continue and retry option, so if I really wanted to explore this mission again, I could always hit the retry button to give it another shot after running through it normally. So, I proceed to complete the mission as intended, a mission, by the way, that ends with the antagonist Jericho actually taking over your body and attempting to drive you into a lethal car accident.
You mean... Jericho?
Sit back and enjoy the show. Not many people get to watch themselves die.
A problem that Tanner decides to solve by, disturbingly enough, shifting for the first and only time in the game into his partner Jones's body. Yes, that partner.
What the hell's going on?
Anyways, I go to finish the mission the normal way, staying on the path, fully expecting the restart option that appears after most missions to show up. Instead, I get to the end of the mission, and for some reason that I still can't explain, the only option was continue. The reset option had vanished. Panicked, I quickly hit Alt F4 and exited the game, hoping I could load up my save file and play through the mission again, but it was too late. It had already auto-saved over my file, and the mission was gone with no way to replay it again. Look, Driver San Francisco is a game full of weird, interesting, strikingly designed missions, but to me, The Target has always stood out as the perfect example of what makes this game special. Video games are an entire medium built around taking over others' bodies, and Driver San Francisco is a richly existential and metatextual reflection of this idea. This mission in particular brought these ideas to the fore in a way that I wasn't fully prepared for and that I'm only now beginning to wrap my head around years and years later. Even writing the script for this video felt like a mind-bending exercise in trying to explain something that is borderline unexplainable. You really have to play it for yourself to get a full sense of how crazy this mission feels. In designing this mission, Reflections took decades of 3D video game conventions and turned them on their head to create what feels like a truly out-of-body experience. That, to me, is an accomplishment worth celebrating. Please play Driver San Francisco.
If you're here, who's in your body?
Well, no one. Oh, God.
Alright, so a couple quick updates on the Driver San Francisco situation. The petition to get Ubisoft to relist the game that I mentioned at the end of my last video is now at over 70,000 signatures, which is insane. Please, if you have any interest in this game, please sign this petition. It now feels like 100,000 is within our grasp, which is crazy, and I can't believe I'm saying, but it could happen, which to me feels like an unignorable number. But in the meantime, as you might have noticed, Ubisoft has not relisted the game. They have been ignoring the 70,000 signatures we have. And on a totally unrelated note, not connected at all, Driver San Francisco, since my video last month, has been in the top 10 most downloaded games on the Pirate Bay. Totally no relationship there. Not mentioning that for any reason at all. Just saying the game is not available, and it's also one of the most pirated video games and has been in the top 10 most pirated games for the past month. Just a coincidence. Also, totally unrelated to the fact that this game is apparently very popular on Pirate Bay, did you know that if you go to nordvpn.org/Babylonian, you can go to websites, illicit or non-illicit, without being tracked by your ISP or anybody else? So that means that, for example, if you were to go to, and I'm not saying you should, a website that allowed you to
download a video game that is no longer available and can be easily pirated with just a few clicks, and you don't want to get an angry email from your ISP saying you can't do that, you should invest in a VPN. If you go to nordvpn.org/Babylonian and use coupon code Babylonian to get 70% off their 3-year plan and get one full month of VPN coverage free. But yeah, if you enjoyed this video, please share it with anyone you think would like it, and or subscribe to my channel if you'd like to see more stuff like this in the future. I've got a lot of videos in various stages of production right now that I'm really excited to get out into the world, and I can finally start thinking about them now that this one's done. So yeah, that's it for me for this time. Hopefully the next video comes out a little quicker. I got a lot of ideas that have nothing to do with Driver SF. This one has been on my mind for a while, and I'm glad to finally have it done. So thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.